The Berkshire Immigrant Center will host the 9th Immigrants Day in the Berkshires on October 19th at Morningside Community School in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Immigrants Day is a free event with entertainment for children, music and dancing, food, and immigrant-owned businesses, and the opportunity to receive a free consultation from an immigration attorney. The annual event celebrates the achievements of Berkshire County's newest U.S. citizens. Here to tell us more are Brooke Mead, Program Coordinator, Eleanor Velez, originally from Mexico and a bilingual admissions counselor and coordinator at the Multicultural Center at Berkshire Community College, and Alyssa Fuller, originally from Ecuador, an immigrant community member and Berkshire Immigrant Center Immigrants Day volunteer. Brooke, Eleanor, and Alyssa, a great pleasure to have the three of you before our microphones.
Thanks for having
Wonderful.
Us.
Wonderful. Thank you. This is always exciting. You're, out of the 9 years, I think you've been here pretty much every one of them
talking
about this event. It has grown by leaps and bounds over the years, so we're thrilled to sort of take this ride with you. So what have you learned over that time? Because it certainly has grown.
I think that I've learned that it's just as important for the native-born community as it is for the immigrant community.
Yes.
I think that's one of the, you know, I think we started it with this idea of kind of exposing the native-born community to our immigrant community and having immigrants feel like, oh, yay, like I finally get a day that's celebrating me coming and the contributions that I'm making. But I'm starting to find that our welcoming community, our native-born community is just as excited about exploring their own immigrant heritage and figuring out who is here. So I think that's the neat thing, is that I don't feel like it's just for immigrants. I feel like it's for all of us.
They want to taste the food, though.
And they want to taste the food.
Sorry.
We have figured this out, that food will bring people in, right?
Yes.
So when you think about your mission then and your mission now, it's pretty much the same, although it has grown and expanded.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, in 2002, we were seeing 200 people a year. We now see 800 people a year in the office. The first Immigrants Day was 40 people. You were there in the basement of a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we need an entire elementary school and we're expecting 500 people. You know, I think we had probably 5 volunteers. There will be over 70 now. So I think that, again, just talking about involving all different segments of the community, it's not an isolated thing, which I think is the whole point of this, right, is that immigrants don't live in isolation. They're community members and friends and coworkers and relatives. So I think that's paralleled the growing of Immigrants Day.
And I think to add up, it's not that immigrants at one point were alone or disconnected, but now they are connected, and that's why people want to come. It's not just because they're curious.
Right.
The local population is like, these are my friends.
Right.
Or my new family members.
Exactly.
So it's really grown in that way, I think, too.
How does this affect Eleanor? What parallels do you see with your day job as a counselor of the Multicultural Center at BCC?
Well, like in the beginning, it was like, okay, who are these people we don't know, and they didn't know us, we didn't know them, but now they are our graduates.
Mm-hmm.
They are. I'm thinking of Diana, who we had here a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and she knew she was just going through the process. Now she's graduated from BCC. She was advocating for the DREAM Act a couple of years ago. She was here. She would be doing it still. But they grow. It's like all of us, like you when you moved into this community. You first try to figure out who you are, where you are, where the stopping, you know, the shopping areas are. And then everything is natural. Wouldn't you say that,
definitely.
Lisa?
I do believe that the chance to just get to know all your friends, just to be with your friends, hang out with them in an event that is allowing you to not only be a part of the celebration, but also to have the chance to just talk to lawyers. In my case,
mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled that I have the chance to go and just talk to them about whatever I'm feeling that I need to ask them. And yeah, I just love the idea of being part of this. And I am volunteering now for the event, and I'm hoping to be doing this for the years to come, because it's a great, great opportunity to just be involved in something that it's so good, not only for us as a community of immigrants, but for the whole county.
How long have you lived in this community?
I have been in and out for like 7 years total.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Berkshire. Yeah. I love the county. I love it.
And I think that's an interesting point, Brooke, when you think about you have people who are immigrants but new to the community, and then you have immigrants who are also just new to this country.
Sure.
And you're dealing with both those issues.
Right. Again, and so it all goes back to this whole thing about people being community members. And I think over the years, right, like as we've seen some attempts for comprehensive immigration reform and seen immigration become this hot button topic, we're just kind of forgetting that it's new community members. And right. When you move to a new community, there are challenges anyway, right? If I moved to Minnesota tomorrow, I would know one person. I do know one person in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, but then, obviously, if you are a newer immigrant, there would maybe be a language barrier in some cases, maybe some cultural differences. I mean, maybe like, what's Social Security? You know, what's the IRS? You know, systems that you didn't necessarily have in your home country. But I think if we're meeting the needs of everybody in our community, that just makes our community stronger. So I think the neat thing that kind of I've seen is that immigrants used to be looked at as this separate population instead of, like Eleanor saying, like, oh, no, these are just other community members, you know, and if you're doing good outreach and if you're doing good work in your community, you're just trying to reach everybody, no matter who that is. And I think the people's attitudes about that have really changed.
And so with that said, of the changing of the attitudes of being here 7 years, have you even seen a change in attitudes?
Yes,
also?
Definitely. Yeah. When I first came here, I was kind of stressed because I didn't know what was going to happen. My English was not as good as I am as it is now.
Yes.
So I was a very nervous about joining stuff. I didn't know. I didn't have much information. But just being able to talk to people and just get referrals. Sometimes with mothers at the YMCA or people at the immigrant center, they just let you know what's going on in the community. So it's much easier now than it was before, yeah.
So someone like Alyssa moves into the community. How do you locate them? How do you find out that they're there and welcome them in?
Well, sometimes we don't, right?
We
try.
We track them down.
I mean, tell a little bit about what you do for outreach at BCC.
For example, I do go out to at least all the schools and all the community events that I can, and I try to, obviously I promote the college, but when I see people who are completely lost, I say, you should call the Berkshire Immigrant Center.
Exactly.
Have you talked to the Berkshire Immigrant Center? Because there are things that I can offer towards higher education, but there's life things that maybe I can refer them to, but they know even better. So it's word of mouth, I think.
Mm-hmm,
definitely. And And sometimes some people don't identify themselves as immigrants because
Sure.
some immigrants look like the general population
Right.
and speak and sound like the general population. But then they say, oh, you know, I've been separated from my children. I'm like, what? For how long? Why? Oh, you're not from here. You're from Canada?
Right.
And, you know, like a Canadian, we wouldn't think they are an immigrant, but they
are.
So then it's like, well, why have you been struggling for so long? Why don't you go talk to the Berkshire Immigrant Center and find out if there's a possibility for you to be reunited with your family or adjust your status or get the services that maybe you've been working for all this time that you just didn't know you
right.
could use, you know?
I find that to be a fascinating point of how we identify ourselves, as if we identify ourselves as an immigrant or we identify ourselves as someone new to this country or we don't have that identifier at all, it would make a big difference of how they come to you or if they come to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I would
true.
Think.
And it's also interesting how, you know, again, we really try to focus on immigration law because a lot of times it means family reunification for people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if I can get your mom in and she can take care of your kids and you don't have to pay for after school care, maybe you work a different job or you work better hours and you get more money. So, like, I think it all just kind of circles back. But a lot of times, again, it's the same conversation. I mean, Elisa's the mom of two young girls and she's talking about the why. She's got a daughter who swims. And
yes.
So I definitely am going to Elisa. Sometimes I'll just have somebody come in and say, what's available for after school care,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can refer them to the school department, certainly, but it also is just like being a member of a community and saying, hey, Lisa, like, what'd you do with your kids after school and
exactly.
how'd they get involved with the why? And can you just talk to this person a little? Some of it is just legitimately stuff that we all want to know when we live in a community, especially with kids.
And also, Because Elisa mentioned this in of one of the things, the draw is the consultation with the immigration attorney. Family reunification, certainly one of the issues. What are some big issues that are common that you're dealing with in this legal?
Sure. I mean, I think we can't ignore the need for the change in immigration law, meaning that, you know, there's between 10 and 20 million people who are not in immigration status right now.
We'll get around to that someday. It took us, what, 40 years for health care. Yeah. We'll get around to it someday.
Seriously, you know. Yeah. So that is an issue. And I think, again, people want to divide people up into black and white, and they want to say, like, oh, you know, the people who are U.S. citizens, they did everything the right way, and the other people just didn't sign up for something, you know. But there's a lot of people who aren't eligible for things, and they live in families where there's a U.S. citizen spouse and U.S. citizen kids. So it's not even, again, like there's this whole isolated population that doesn't have within their own families people who are undocumented. So that's one. I get a ton of people who are on tourist visas who want to be able to stay. They're smart. They're college educated. They speak English. They want to come and study. They want to come and work. And yet our system doesn't work. I get people, unfortunately, who have been victims of crime, you know, I mean, especially, you know, domestic violence. And they're in these abusive relationships, and a U.S. citizen is holding their immigration status over their head, and they're thinking they're never going to be able to stay here because they're getting these threats, and they don't know what their rights are, you know. So I think just the ability to live a peaceful, confident, you know, calm life in the United States requires that you understand what goes on with our very bureaucratic, outdated immigration laws.
And outdated or not outdated, mm-hmm. are we? You know, the legal system, just by its very meaning, and this isn't a criticism, but it's complex. It's
sure.
difficult to for those of us who do not have the law degree. It is a difficult thing to figure out. So to have that person sort of walk you through it is important.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Very, very important.
Definitely.
I think one of the things that you've helped a lot lately that has been a blessing is after the passing of DACA.
Mm. Which is
Brooke will tell you exactly how it spells out.
Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Try it again.
Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Okay. and that is
the quasi DREAM Act. It's not the DREAM Act. That's what gave a legal status to many people who came here as kids or are still kids in the United States until we can figure out how to put them on a path towards citizenship and make sure that they are contributing all of their amazing talents to our society.
How do you work with other communities that may not have their act together quite like you do of having an immigrant center? So I would assume that, you know, if people coming in to name your community in the Hudson Valley or in, you know, elsewhere in Massachusetts or in Vermont or in New York, that you say, oh, okay, this is something that we need to perhaps start.
We would be happy
we'll
to have
our
a
own
conversation.
Basement.
Yeah, we would. Right?
Yeah, it's
so
true.
That's where it can be born, and then it can grow. We would be happy to talk to anyone, you know, and our website is berkshireic.com, like Berkshire, I as an immigrant, C as in center.com. But there are also coalitions like MIRA, the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, is Massachusetts. New York has an advocacy coalition as well, because they can connect you with other places. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, funding is not fun. But it is definitely doable. And then you have community partners like a Berkshire Community College, like an Eleanor Velez, who are so excited to have that contact that the truth is that then you can try to focus on what the Immigrant Center should do and just know about the other programs and refer people to the other programs. Because the Immigrant Center shouldn't be registering people for school or telling them all about higher education. It's my job to say, hey, higher education is awesome and there's a great person you can talk to about it, but I don't have to know everything.
Yeah. And I'd just like to say, with higher education and Malala being in the news lately so much, many of our immigrants, I would say, are looking for those better opportunities for their children, not so much for themselves, but for their children. And some come from places where higher education or education period is simply not allowed, or if you're from a certain caste. For example, I was watching a documentary yesterday about the people in Egypt who are born to pick up trash. So you're born into that group, and that's the future
that
you're going to have.
Lot in life.
And then somebody, a father, says, I want you to have a better future. You know, this is dangerous. This is scary. I want you to have a chance of an education. And in some places, that's just not available. And in America, it is. And it's so they want to give this to their children. Sometimes they know how to do it. Sometimes they don't. And I think, you know what? They're thirsty for this opportunity, and we just have to connect them with the possibility.
The 9th Immigrants Day in the Berkshires, hosted by the Berkshire Immigrant Center, will take place in Pittsfield this Saturday. To learn more, BerkshireIC.com. BerkshireIC.com. Brooke, Eleanor, Elisa, I thank you very much for joining us this morning and for the great work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope to see you.
Yes.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.